Today, I want you to open to John 16, and I want us to put emphasis on John 16, 1 to 4, but I will be reading from John 15, verse 18, all the way to 16, 4. Today's sermon will be emphasis on John 16, 1 to 4, but I think it's important for us to read that part before it in order to understand the context and the scripture in general. So let's read John 15 from verse 18 and all the way to chapter 16, 4. John 15, verse 18. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world will love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I choose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the world that I say to you, a servant is no greater than his master. If they persecute me, they will also persecute you. If they keep my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoke to them, they would not have been guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. But the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without a cause. But then the Helper comes, who I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father. He will bear witness about me, and you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. They will pull you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. But I have said these things to you that when the hours come to when the hours come, you may remember that I told them to you. If you're a fan of fantasy stories such as Lord of the Rings or Narnia, if you like games about medieval adventures and magic and things like this, I think so you'll be very familiar with the word guild. You normally have things like a warrior guild or a magic guild, where people will come and do their work with their emphasis on something, right? So a ranger guild will be a group of people who are very good at archery. The warrior guild is a group of people who are very good at close combat, and they're always speak as big guys with big swords and armor. Well, what would you tell me if I were to tell you that the idea of a guild is actually something of the real world, not of the fantasy? In reality, this is a term used in the medieval age. A guild is a group, is exactly as I just described it, a group of people who come together to practice their skills. In the medieval age, they normally will come together in order to practice the skill to give a service. The most known type of guild was the merchant guild, because they will practice their skills of sailing and trading. This is something that humans actually do in their common day. We group, we make groups, and we come into communities. This is something that even today we still practice, because we are creatures, we are social creatures. Don't you think it's interesting how we make jokes that are specifically for policemen? We make jokes that are specifically for the army men. We make jokes specifically for students. We humans love to do groups. By nature, as social creatures, we like to be in groups. In this passage, Jesus talked about the idea of being in a group. We see that in chapter 15, he talked about the parable, the story of the true vine. He described himself as the vine of life, and anything outside of him, there is no life in them. The idea of being a group, of being a member in someone. And so Jesus today in these passages is explaining that if you intend to be part of his group, if you intend to be part of the family of God, be ready. Because the world will persecute you. If you are a member of God, the world will persecute you. Because, on the other hand, we like to be groups. We don't like to be exclusive. We don't like to be separated. When we see someone who is from another group, there's always conflict. I study, for my graduation, I study animal husbandry. And in our university, we have the school of animal husbandry and veterinarians. And there's always discussion, of course, in a friendly way, between the two. One will say that is more important than the other one. There's always discussion when there's two groups. So Jesus wants to tell his disciples in these passages to be ready. Because if they were going to follow him, if they're going to identify themselves as a group of God, the world will persecute them. So for today's sermon, I want to address 3 points. The world will deny you. The world will persecute you. And the world will not know you. So for point number one, the world will deny you. In chapter 16, verse 2, Jesus began by saying, they will put you out of the synagogues. What is the context of this? Why is this phrase so impactful for the disciples? What was the idea about putting someone outside of the synagogues? If we go back to the Old Testament, we can see that there is a meaning behind putting something outside of the groups. If a woman was found being unfaithful, she was to be taken outside of the camp and stoned. If a man was with leper, which was considered unholy and unclean, he was to be taken outside of the camp. Even the scapegoat, what was to happen? They were to put the sin of Israel on the scapegoat and put him into the wilderness where they assumed he will die. And again, keyword, outside. So what is this phrase so impactful for the disciples? Because the idea of being outside of a group was something that was very painful. It was a horrible picture of someone not being part of the group. The idea of being outside carried a heavy meaning. It means that something was unacceptable in the group. How can something ungodly, unclean, be in the presence of the people of God, even in front of God himself? Now the question is, when Jesus began by saying, they, what does Jesus mean when he say, they will put you outside of the synagogue? Who is they? In this context, it means the Jewish. The Jewish were going to persecute the disciples and put them outside of the synagogues. They were going to marginalize them as unholy, unclean, outside of the group. But this is, for us, what does it mean for us? Because, of course, we don't live in synagogues at the moment. It means that the world will marginalize you. It will kick you out of the group. It will push you outside of the community. In the internet, there is a famous phrase, there is a famous term for people called haters. I don't know how familiar you are with that word. What does it mean to be a hater? Well, in the internet, when you have an opinion that is not very friendly to a group of people, when you're not very acceptant of ideas and very open-minded, people will label you as a hater. because you are not accepting or being kind to other people. Oh, you don't agree with the LGBT? You're a hater. Oh, you are looked down on the furry culture? You're a hater. Oh, you don't like to go to a rock concert, get drunk, and party like there's no tomorrow? Oh, no, no, you're just a very boring person. Not joking. But you can see the image. They will not accept you if you don't party or you're not part of the group. The idea is that if you don't fit into the puzzle, they will take you out of the community. So Jesus telling to his disciples, they will take you out of the synagogues. They will not accept you. They will marginalize you and take you outside as an outsider, someone who is not accepted. Brothers and sisters, the world will look at you and they will say, get out from our group. Why? Because we live in a different way. Because we don't fit into the puzzle. Because we're different. Going back to the example of the guilds, in order to sell something in a community, most of the companies or people needed to be part of a guild. That's how much power they had. They have the privilege of exchanging and selling in some key points on key places. If you are not part of the member of the guild, you were not able to sell and to do business with people. You needed to first come to a place and agree to the policy. Otherwise, you were out of the group and you would need to deal with a lot of rules and working. And even people would not trust you if they knew that you were not part of a business or a merchant guild. This is a privilege loss because you were not part of the group. The world will deny you because we are different. Jesus was already telling them. Looking back at chapter 15, again, Jesus called himself the vine. If you're not in the vine, if you're not in him, you're dead. But on the other hand, look what he's saying. And that's why I wanted to read the previous verses, because we need to put it together. If the world hates you, know that he has hated me before you. If you're planning to be part of Jesus, know that the world will deny you. He will call you a hater. He will marginalize you. He will think that you're different. So he will kick you out from the group. Second point, the world will persecute you. The world will persecute you. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you, he will think he's offering service to God. Remember how I say that in a guild, people will practice the skills and abilities and to put it into use? Well, that's no different from the world and society today. People will put the practice, and in reality, the practice means that if we live in a different way, if we live in the way of God, Jesus, we'll be putting into conflict on how other people live their life. How they put the practice in their life. When we read this passage, there should be one name that come out to our minds. Acts 6, 8-15. Stephen. And I think so you can see right away, why do I point to him? What happened to Stephen? Because he shared the gospel and the people hate him. They brought him outside and stone him. They kill him, believing that they were doing the righteous thing. They kill him because they thought that he was wrong. This section is not talking about people that think that they are believers. Actually, I want to clarify this. Because Jesus is saying that people will kill you thinking that they're offering to God. And you will say, well, maybe it's talking about people who think they're believers, but they're calling us unbelievers to us. I think so we need to see Jesus is actually addressing a little bit deeper. The core of what Jesus is saying is that people will harm you, will persecute you, thinking that they're doing the good job. I want you to substitute in this passage the word God for good. And look how does it sound. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he's offering a good service for good. Let's put it that way. The world thinks that they're doing what is good by persecuting the believer, the church, you. They will think they're doing the good thing. Wow, Christians are so hateful. They do not accept people. Wow, they tell us to do this and to do that. Wow, you cannot accept this. How can you be such a hateful person? That's what the world thinks. So when you see in the news or the media about how a Christian, I don't know if you have seen those videos where a Christian is ridiculized and you read the comments, what do they say? Oh, wow, look at it. So good, finally, someone who is thinking rightful, finally putting those extremists into their place. They don't understand the world. What is society? What is good? Wow, applause to the people who love and tolerable. They think they're humbling themselves by accepting what is sinful. They think by denying God, they're actually doing what is for them, in their eyes, what is good. Sadly, that's what Jesus tells us that's coming for us, the believer, for you. That when you stand up to say, to point out that they're doing something sinful, they will respond back by attacking you and persecute you. And of course, because they're in a group, again, going back to the idea, it's a group, they will kick you out. And not only kick you out, but persecute you. They will point at you, start pointing. Oh, you say like this, you talk like that. See, that's where you're wrong. Oh, see, this person is a hypocrite. He said he believes in the Bible, loving. But look, is he really loving when he do this? Oh, scandalous news. The world will seek a way of how to throw you down to the ground. It's not just take you out of the group, but to persecute you. The irony is that they think they're doing good, but they're actually contradicting God who created everything and is the only true and righteous God of creation. And that brings me to the third point. The world will not know you. No one likes to be left behind. That is society. That is humanity. We humans don't like to be left behind. No one likes to be that last kid picked for the team. No one likes to be that kid who is in the corner of the party while everyone else is having fun. No one likes to be the last person of the group sitting in the back while everyone else is having fun and talking. We don't like to be excluded from the group. Jesus concluded his speech here by saying that the world does not know the Father, neither him. That they will do all these things because they don't know the Father and Jesus. Notice how Jesus doesn't mention the disciples. He doesn't say that all of these things will happen because you guys decided to choose God or Jesus. Think so there's a purpose, that was done on purpose to show up, to put emphasis in the idea that all of these things are happening because of God and Jesus. Almost like saying, if it wasn't because of Jesus or God, the world wouldn't be persecuting you. If it wasn't because of the gospel, the world wouldn't be hating you. Jesus is pointing that, going back again, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. It's emphasis. What is the reason that the world will hate you? It's not because you're better than them, so they're jealous. or because you did something and it was better, and then, oh, we want to be number one and we need to beat you, so we don't like you. Actually, if you just didn't have God, they will love you. Almost that feeling of, it's because of Jesus that they hate you. And I think so Jesus is pointing to that point. The core of reason that the world hates you is because you believe it in Jesus. So Jesus just point out that saying that all these things will happen because they don't know the Father, neither Jesus. It's not us. It's because God. Who is the center? Who is the important point? It's not us. It's Jesus. Now, I could finish my service in here, but that would be a very sad note, almost without hopes, right? And of course, thankfully, that's not where we stop, and that's not where I will end, because otherwise, that would be a very depressing picture for us, the believer. So, I want us to turn to another passage, and I think so it's very important to see this passage hand-to-hand with what we read today in John 16. I want you to turn to 1 John, not John, but 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. And as I read this verse, I think so you will start to notice why I want us to see these two Bible verses side by side. 1 John 3, 1, read. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we shall be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Start seeing the picture. Where's the similarity? Think so these two Bible verses go hand to hand. And I want us to see, because this is where we put our hope. This is where we find our hope and the love of God. Jesus is telling to the disciples already that if you are to follow Him, if you're going to be part of the church, of the people of God, know that the world will persecute you. He will hunt you down. He will hate you. He will marginalize you. He will put you aside. He will throw you from the group. 1 John comes with the same teaching, but it tells you the beauty and the hope that we find in God. Let me read you side by side and putting together the two Bible verses so you can put the connection. John says in the beginning, John 16, verse 2 says, they will put you out of the synagogues. 1 John 3, 1 says, see what kind of love the Father has given you. John says, indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. 1 John says that we shall be called children of God, and so we are. John says, and they will do these things because they have no know the Father nor me. 1 John, we read, the reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him, the Father. So brothers and sisters, I want you to start seeing the two sides of it. Jesus says, and thee, the world will persecute you if you're part of the vineyard, if you're part of the family. Oh, but 1 John then tell you, look how much the Lord have loved you that you can call yourself children of God. Look at that love of God. Then Jesus remind you, yes, they will persecute you. They will kill you. They will even say that they're doing the right thing. Oh, but then he remind you that you can call yourself children of God. How beautiful this is. And then at the end, the two points are very similar, but a little bit different. In John, in the Gospel of John, Jesus is pointing out that the world doesn't know the Father and Jesus, and that's why they will persecute you, because they are from the devil. In John, well, 1 John, he already set down that we are the people of God. Therefore, the world doesn't also know us. Do you see? The world doesn't know the Father. The world doesn't know the Son, Jesus. And now in 1 John, it says, also the world will not know you. Why? Because you're members, you're children of God. That's why the world will not know you. So brothers and sisters, if you're struggling in life, if you think that the world is harsh, just like Jesus said, but I have said these things to you, that when their hours comes, you may remember that I told them to you. And indeed, we're leaving that time where the world, the society will look at you and will persecute you and will look down on you because you believe in a weird book that claimed that a man 2,000 years ago died on the cross for your sin. So for the young people who are less than 30, no more than 30 because I'm 30. For the young people, the world will tell you, don't waste your time. Go out to the world. Don't waste it in the church. What are you doing? You're so young. You have so much in your life. For the people who are adult, the world will tell you, you're still young. You still have time. Go back. Don't waste your time. Don't go there into the church and waste your life. You're still strong. You have a future to go. And for those who are still a little bit more elders, the world will tell you, sure, you wasted your life. But right now, weak and old. Come, enjoy it. Why spend your last minutes of your life wasting it in a church, in an old book? Come and enjoy it. You deserve it. Brothers and sisters, the world will try his best to pull you. And he will try to hurt you if you deny him. But which one is greater? The false teaching and the empty gift that the world offers you? Or this love, this beautiful love that we are able to call ourselves children of God? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, or Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. I thank you because you have adopted us, that even we didn't deserve it, and we were sinful creatures that didn't even deserve forgiveness, even less love. You have chosen us to be your children. How great is this love? There's nothing greater that can compare to this gift. Help us to remember who we are, that even in times of tribulations and hardship, we can remember that we are your children. And even when we suffer in this world and we see and we feel like we don't have anything, we need to remember that we are the richest of the richest in heaven, because our treasures stand in heaven, in a place where thief and mole cannot even reach and will never spoil. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.